Welcome to It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and each week I bring you the most amazing people from all over the planet who have such tremendous gifts to share. And the music that leads us into the show and ushers us out of the show was created by my friend Barry Goldstein, an amazing musician in his own right, and it's called Prayer of the Heart. To learn more about Barry's music, you can go to barrygoldsteinmusic.com. Now, tonight my guest is someone that I have not yet met, but we have a lot in common. We are both facilitators of an amazing workshop called Cuddle Party, and we're both, I wouldn't say touch geeks or touch fanatics, but we're all about relationships, and part of relationships is about touch. So tonight we're going to be talking about the idea of getting in touch with touch, the essential need for healthy touch. And my guest is Marcella Lyles. Welcome to the show, Marcella.
Well, thank you, Edie. Thank you. I'm just so glad to be in your space. Thank you.
My pleasure. Well, the last time we talked, I was on your show, and we were garbed a little bit differently. I had just come out of teaching a workshop called Love the Skin You're In, a Body Positive Journey, and it was a clothing optional workshop. So that meant that I was teaching in my all together. So in the spirit of that, I said, guess what? You know, how about if we do the interview in the nude? Now, this was not, you know, we were just on the radio. It wasn't, there were no cameras. So what did you say when I said that?
I think I said you were the first person to I've never met to get me nude over the phone, right?
Like, oh, my God. I'm honored.
Thank you. And it was such a delicious, welcoming, warm space, you know, to be able to be in my skin and to get in touch with that and to really just enjoy talking to someone and knowing that they were in there all together. And so it was really great. So it was a fun little breakthrough. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. So why is touch vital? Why is it so important that we have healthy, nurturing touch in our lives?
Well, the fact that we have to ask that question is pretty much the answer. We are, as we have more and more technology, we are getting more and more away from what we know is a basic human need. Water, there's lots of stuff about water. Food, lots of stuff about food. And touch, it's like, we need touch. But people aren't really in touch with what it means to be touched. They think it's like, oh, well, you know, I high-fived somebody or I did this or I did that, but they're not in touch with it. And why it's important is because it is as essential as food, water, shelter. It's on the base of our Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Without it, babies have been known to die. Relationships have been known to die. People experience mental unwellness. And it's just, you know, there's so many areas that touch touches, and we take it for granted, and that's why it's important.
So did you grow up in a family where nurturing touch was part of it? Because I did. I was really, feel really blessed that I did.
And I think we might have talked about this. Not only did I not necessarily grow up in a home that was super touch friendly, I don't know that I grew up in a culture that was super touch friendly. I am African American. There are definitely some gender controls and things like that, like you don't touch little boys all the time. And as we grew up, I don't think we got as much touch comparatively to the touch I give to my son now. As a result of that, I love the name Touch Geek. You called me that last time. I've been thinking about getting T-shirts made because I love the neck up part of touch, which is why getting naked and being in my body was such a good experience. Because from the neck down, this is still very much a journey for me. I understand the need for it. But because I did not grow up in a home where touch was all the time going on, I haven't been in touch with touch. So this is a beautiful journey for myself as well as others, because I think where my family expressed love was through our words and not necessarily through our hands or our touch at all. Yes, we got it, but not like, you know, not, I wouldn't say we were a touchy-feely family like my family is now.
Well, I grew up in, you know, in a family, as I said, where I used to joke with my parents that they trained me to be a cuddle party facilitator. So can you share a little bit about that? I know that's not all your work is about, but how did you get involved with a workshop like that if that wasn't your orientation?
Thank you. That's a great question.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I found this, or some variation of what Cuddle Party was becoming when I was in undergrad. And I went for that exact reason. My friends would just come up and assault me with cuddling, it felt like. And so I went to go to this thing in my, dormitory where people were talking about asking for permission. And I was like, yeah, I need to go to that because these people have to stop touching me. So I went to... learn about the consent piece, and I really fell in love. And at that moment, I remember my college self saying, I need to do this work. And as life happens, I didn't get to do it right away, but I traveled and went abroad. And then when I came back to the States, it was one of the first things I looked for. And I went to one in Colorado. And that was the journey. It was always something I just fell in love with. And while you and your orientation, you might fall in love with the we've talked about this, where you might talk about just the sheer touch of it, I love the consent piece of it. I love the asking. I love the communication piece of it. I love that piece because that, for me, it gorks with my neck up stuff. It's really great. And it's empowering for someone who didn't have touch as their love language, words of affirmation was mine. So now I can ask for the touch I want in a very powerful place. And I find that as I'm doing this work, those are the people who are drawn to me. We like touch. We want to be touched. And we have particular rules about how we want to be touched, which for a touchy-feely person may cause a conflict or may make you diminish your want to touch us. And so it's kind of a beautiful blend, and that's what I'm finding in this journey. So I became a Cuddle Party facilitator in Colorado back in 2000 and the December of 2014. So I just hit my year mark, and I'm really enjoying what it allows me to do and the work it's allowing me to do, even if it's not always through, like you said, cuddle parties. That consent piece is very, very important, and I use it with my son, and we teach kids how to ask for touch. So it's really blossomed into something more beautiful, even though it wasn't. I'm not a touchy-feely person, and I think I joke that, like, my biggest concern about doing this work is that people will randomly run up and touch me. I don't think I'm fully ready for it, and mm-hmm. I can now be empowered to make a request, and that's who I'm here for. It's people
And consent is such a powerful topic these days. There's a video, YouTube video, that parallels the idea of consent and pouring somebody a cup of tea. And folks, if you haven't seen it, just Google tea and consent, and you'll see, if somebody is passed out, you don't pour them a cup of tea. You don't make them drink it. If they say no thank you, you don't give them the tea. If they're, if they've had enough, you don't keep giving them more tea. And it's the same thing with touch, whether it's sexual or non-sexual touch. No means no. And then the other thing you mentioned about with children, that children are encouraged, go hug Aunt so-and-so or go kiss Grandpa. And the child doesn't want to, and they're shamed into doing it, and it's like an ooh, ick kind of feeling. Even if they love that person, and the same thing with pregnant women. The pregnant women sometimes feel like their bellies are public property. So, that no means no is so powerful. So we're going to go into our break, right? Go ahead.
We'll come back at the break.
Okay, but I want to let folks know how they can find you. And your website is thelovingwell.net. Is that correct?
Yes, thelovingwell.net. And I also have theskinhungerproject.com. And that one is under construction. This project is quite new. And so it's just theskinhungerproject.com is where all the touch stuff is. And The Loving Well is where I do my coaching and my relationship work. And we'll talk about that when we come back from the break, maybe.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you. Thank you. We're going to be talking about what the Skin Hunger Project is. So, folks, catch you after the break.
Thanks.
to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
It's All About Relationships is a gathering of friends worldwide. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein. Join us each Thursday night from 8 to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. My guests are dynamic leaders in the field of human interaction, and no topic is off the table, from sexuality to spirituality to self-love. I'm a best-selling author, speaker, therapist, interfaith minister, and optimistic who sees the world through the eyes of possibility. Visit me at opti-mystical.com.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
Welcome back to the next portion of It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and my guest is Marcella Lyles. She is the founder of the Skin Hunger Project. So tell us about that.
The Skin Hunger Project started back in November. It's had like four different names, and it was really part of an organization. I'm a Landmark graduate, for those who know that, and we have a self-expression and leadership program, and this program was designed to have us develop something that really expresses ourselves. And what I really wanted to do was go out and teach people just the simple technique of holding hands and having touch be in the lives of, like, the elderly and maybe people who are in convalescent homes. And I really got shut down. I was really devastated for quite some time. I think around Christmas I was on the phone with my coach, and I was like, I can't do this. There's no way I can do this project because they won't even open the door. I say that I want to talk about touch, and they slam the door in my face. And then a friend of mine tagged me in this thing about a professional cuddler, and I just realized how out of touch people were. And I said, you know, this isn't going to work. I'm not going to be able to go in and talk to people about touch. I have to talk to people about why we need it. Everybody knows we need it, but not many people know why. And so I started doing podcasts on what is skin hunger? What is it? It's the fact that we need 4 hugs a day, 8 hugs a day, 12 hugs a day to thrive, 4 to survive. And people really started to tune in and listen. Now there's something we're treating and we're taking on, and it's more than just, hey, this platitude that you need touch. No, if you don't get touch, here's what happens. You can have depression, suicidal thoughts, children act out. There's inappropriate or unwanted sexual behavior in order to get touch. There's all these things in society that start to show up. And so I started doing talks, like I said, what is skin hunger? Am I skin hungry? And as I started doing that, the project kind of just took its own, it turned itself into something that I hadn't even expected. And, you know, one morning I was like at 2:00 in the morning, Divine was like, I want you to call it this. I was like, this? You woke me up for this at 2:00 in the morning? The Skin Hunger Project? Just like that. And, you know, at 2:00 in the morning, I want, like, you know, lights and fireworks. But no, the Skin Hunger Project, in its simplicity, brings awareness and acceptance and advocacy for people who are actually suffering from the impact of not having enough touch. And so it's a real medical term. You can Google it. I have Twitter, and lots of people have talked about it. There's a couple of books. And there's lots of research that says we need touch, and now there's this phenomena linking it to the body's need. Just like if you don't have food, you get hungry. Mm-hmm. If you don't have water, you get thirsty. And now people can digest that and be with that a lot easier than, you know, a lot of other ways that touch is presented to people. and we get them back in touch with the need that it is. So that's how it got started. Our goal is to, my mission is to be everywhere that skin hunger is until skin hunger isn't. People ask me, well, who's at risk? People with skin, period.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter if you're poor. It doesn't matter your color, your orientation. This is an epidemic that is inclusive to everyone that has skin. Because, you know, you could go without it very easily. And so the Skin Hunger Project right now, we have a website. I still do my podcast. And, you know, the biggest thing right now is funding and exposure. That's what we need so that we can start to train people and to help people and support people on having this very powerful conversation on asking for the touch that they need. So that's what we do. And, you know, right now it's kind of small. Like I said, it just fit the mechanism, the Self-Expression Leadership Project, ended in February. And so the project is only as new as that. But I've got a newsletter out, and I've got lots of people who are just waiting for us to get picked up and get funded somewhere so that we can really start making a difference for people. Because not one person who hears about it isn't like, oh, wow, that's what that is. It's the sadness mm-hmm. you feel when you haven't had a hug for a while. It's the irritability right. that you have. And so that's what we do, and that's what I'm here for. And that's my self-project.
I am so glad. And that's, you know, something that comes to me, too. As someone that has a lot of nurturing touch in my life, I don't get 12 hugs a day. You know, so, I mean, I, you know, when I'm with friends, when I'm, you know, certainly, and you know, when I've been in a romantic relationship and when I've worked in nursing homes, when I do my free hug events, I get lots of hugs, but I don't consistently get 12 hugs a day. So imagine people who live alone, who don't have a whole bunch of supportive people in their lives, who work in a cubicle, who are just isolated. I can only imagine what we know what that's like. So bless you for doing what you do.
Well, thank you. And not only are we like waking up by ourselves alone, getting in our car alone, going to work in our cubicle alone, you know, sitting on Facebook connected with like 900 friends and nobody comes over. We mock this I need a hug business. Like mm-hmm. if somebody says, I need a hug, this is like, I want people to start relating to I need a hug like I need water. Like mm-hmm. if somebody said, I'm thirsty, I'm parched, I need water, you would not laugh at them. You would not right. say, oh, you're just being silly. You wouldn't just like throw water at them. That's another way that people approach it. They kind of like, oh, you know, kind of give like a quick, I don't know, kind of placating hug. No, when a person is saying, I need a hug, we're talking like a 5-minute hug. You know, Virginia Satir is the one who came up with the data that says we need 4, 8, and 12, 4 touches a day to survive, 8 to maintain, and 12 to thrive. And as I've done other research, there's this big debate about like 10 seconds, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, what's good. And what I've done is I've kind of magically, you know, kind of looked at all of that data and looked at other data that says, well, you know, our brain needs time to know that we've gotten water. Our brain needs time to know that we've gotten food. Why wouldn't our brain need time to know that we are getting intentional, healthy touch? And so what I tell people is that it's 20 minutes of solid, you know, touch a day. Now, that doesn't mean you have to sit for 20 minutes. If you can do 5 minutes at a time, that is way better than, you know, no touch at all. If you can do 10 seconds, that's good. But we don't want people to think that, you know, this is going to be managed with 40 seconds of touch. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking really sitting and holding somebody's hand and looking at them. It doesn't have to be laying down. It could just be holding them. It could be touching feet to feet. Whatever it is that it is skin to skin, that's important. So it's 20 to survive, 40 to maintain whatever your current health is, and 12 or touches or 60 minutes a day for thriving, for creativity, for women generally to feel amorous. There's all these other things that start to kick in. We're talking about oxytocin and, you know, all kinds of different hormones. So people need that. And one thing I will say, people ask me, is touching myself helpful? Yes. I don't want to discredit that touch. That can be helpful. It should be non-sexual touch. And the one thing that doesn't really count as much is pets. People ask me all the time, well, what is it, my pet? No, this is a skin-to-skin scientific. Your skin, my skin has different food. So it literally is a skin hunger.
Absolutely. And you mentioned a thing about pets. I haven't read it, but it keeps flashing by on my Facebook thread about how it's unhealthy for dogs to hug your dog. It's unhealthy for the dog to hug your dog. I have to read that article and see what that's about. So, did you read it?
No, I don't know, but I do know that pets want touch, and we have to make sure that we are giving them healthy touch as well. I don't know as much about that, but I do know that sometimes people will kind of take that on, like, oh, I'm hugging my pet, and they're still isolated. So I don't know about that article. I do know that pets need it. I do know that pets can help, but I have to read the articles to know
what
they were saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, me too. Now, the other thing that I wanted to mention to you, in our culture, men are not encouraged to touch other men. And we're not talking, we live in such a homophobic culture that, and there are other cultures where men walk down the street holding hands, I think in Middle Eastern countries. But here in the United States, that doesn't happen. So the idea of, the bro hug, pat on the back. What can we do, fist bumps, high fives, what can we do to encourage men to feel more comfortable with not, if their orientation is not, the homosexual, how do we encourage men to be nurturing and affectionate with each other?
Wow, that's like a whole nother area of research entirely. The Good Men Project wrote an article about this, and I shared it a couple of months ago. I'll share it again. There's a lot in that. That is a very deeply loaded question. The first thing I'd like to say is, like I said, go back to it being a basic need. It is like right there, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. This is not about sex. This is about touch. Touch is touch. Sex is sex. Different conversation. So what I can say is have the conversation first and foremost. This is not about homosexuality. This is about just needing that companionship. I used to live in South Korea, and you talk about the bro hug. We had skinship, where people walked down the street holding hands. It didn't matter what gender they were. They just stayed in touch with each other. I don't know the answer. I'm hoping as I get more funding and support, that's one of the things that we can really research, is because we know that there's a problem. There's just not research on how to treat it. So what I would say is have more practitioners, like cuddle party facilitators, professional cuddlers, those kinds of people getting more into practice, more male masseuses. They struggle also sometimes. I don't know what the answer is, and I'm hoping that through this journey we'll discover that. But I would say if it can start anywhere, start with your kids. Hug them more. Dads, don't worry about turning them into a tough guy. Tough guys need hugs, it's okay. Don't cut them off. We cut our children off from touch right around 10 for boys. Can we not do that? Can we make sure that they're still getting that touch? Because what happens is when they don't, it turns into violent behavior a lot of times, and sexual behavior the other times. So if we could just hold on to our kids a little longer, that might help. And in the meantime, Edie, you've asked the question of the core of my work is how can we get people to touch, and in particular, men. I would love to hear what men are doing because it's important for them.
Absolutely. And, I grew up in a very touchy-feely family. My father, who is this tough, on the surface tough guy, would hug everybody, men, women, boys, girls. He didn't care. So I think that, that does start there. Absolutely does. So believe it or not, we are at the end of the show. So once again, folks, go to thelovingwell.net, and it's the Skin Hunger Project or Skin Hunger Project.
It is theskinhungerproject.com. So, I just want people to know that it's THESKINPRO JECTK.com, right? And I have a Facebook page. They can find us on Facebook. And so, you know, even if that wasn't correct, you can find us. Just Google Skin Hunger. I'm pretty much the only thing out there right now that's getting a lot of hits. So I'm pretty easy
Marvelous.
To find. So thanks.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad I found you. We connected through, I don't know if it's through a mutual friend or through Cuddle Party, but I'm so glad we did. And I look forward to coming out to Austin and visiting you. So that will be marvelous. Taking our show on the road, our Love the Skin You're In show on the road meets the Skin Hunger Project. That would be marvelous.
Beautiful.
So thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So next week, folks, my guest is Kira, and I'm going to, hopefully I don't mangle her last name. I have to ask her how to pronounce it. Asatrya, Asatrya. And we're going to be talking about the idea of stop being lonely. So until next week, I thank you, I bless you, I love you. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us on It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, asking you the all-important question, what does your vivid life look like? Hoping that it includes fulfilling and thriving relationships in all areas. Until next time, sending you abundant love from here.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.